will have another week to talk about later. Many, many years ago in the barn, we did a survey, and we listed many of the issues that some of our neighbors have to address. Poverty, sex trafficking, justice issues, etc. And the community marked which things they had passion for. And clearly, to the top of the list came hunger and food insufficiency. And so for many, many years, barn community has had a passion for the hungry. And when the fall kicks off, generally a lot of the things that we do around hunger also kick off. So today, we're going to renew that passion and have a conversation about hunger. Why do you think hunger is an issue that clearly matters to the heart of God? Why do you think hunger is an issue that clearly matters to the heart of God?
The inequity between the haves and the
have-nots.
Because food is what sustains life.
Why do you think hunger really matters to the heart of God? It's talked about in the scriptures. In this week, I think of hunger, hungry, the hungry. There's tons and tons of passages on hunger. Clearly matters to the heart of God. It's talked about a lot. Why? Spiritual hunger and physical hunger bring people together. Have you ever noticed how many times we find Jesus around the table? Because when we're around the table, we are reminded of our common humanity. We already need to survive. And so something common occurs at the table. The table that we come to, right, with common elements of the day, you know, bread and drink, the things that are kind of the basics. Here we go. So hunger, very central to our understanding. What else do you think it matters to the heart of God?
God provided food for us, and somebody
brings
that.
So God provides enough food for all of us, but somebody goes without it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, God wanted to buy food, but if they were to go without it,
right, right. So it's provided enough for everybody, so it's kind of breaking the heart of God and people don't get it for sure. The worldview, I think, of God is that we are all God's children. Now, I'd like you to think for just a moment what that means. Imagine you are a parent or an aunt or an uncle. Or you have a surrogate family that you love. If you don't know, you know, if you're not an actual parent. Imagine that you have a couple of people around you in your imagination that you love. Would you want any of those people to starve to death? Okay. They're your family, you want to take care of them. It's your innate desire to take care of that which is entrusted to you. And I think what we lose sight of is God has been very clear, we are all God's children. So if one is starving, God is going to fight for that one that's starving like you and I would fight if that were our child. We are all God's children. I think my worldview is, so look, it's one thing to look at like a picture of somebody that's hungry. It's another thing to befriend somebody that's hungry. And I think while I knew street people and I knew that there were people who struggled, I think my first year in Honduras, when we are in a school that was gated, okay, so there's a gate the whole way around this main place where we all gather, they would bring us our lunch. None of you experienced this because this was the very first year. And the children and parents would be at the gates, clinging to the gate, watching us eat. Because they weren't eating. And it was bad enough that they were watching us eat, which they changed because our volunteers couldn't stand it. So they changed it. So we did, which I'm not sure was a good idea. I think it is better that they were there and we had a deal with everybody. So they're there watching us eat, right? And then they're watching us take half of the plate and throwing it away. Because, you know, it didn't like what was served, wasn't quite to your taste. And then in the morning, we used to bring a half a dozen kids from a different classroom to share breakfast with us. And they'd put like one at each of the tables so that you could get to know the children. And you go through this buffet line, and these little kids would go through the buffet line, and they would fill their plate as, you know, tight as they could with food, and then they would sit down, and they wouldn't eat any of it. Wow. They would ask if they could take it home to feed their brothers. It changed me. I've never been the same since those experiences, because I think God ripped open my heart and said to me, Sue, the way you care for your kids, these are my kids. You're all my kids. There's enough to go around. I want you to watch this video, and I'm going to ask you to not close off your emotions, but to open your heart to what a mother or father or uncle or aunt feels when this child, their niece or their nephew or their child, because if our family series reminded us Jesus was clear that we are all family, and until all are fed, none of us should stop fighting for the cause of hunger that all be fed. So let's watch this clip together. Tony Campolo is remembered for saying, it makes me so damn angry that 16,000 children die a day unnecessarily because of hunger. And then he said, what's really troublesome is that many of you are more concerned that I just said damn than that 16,000 children die every day from hunger. God is passionate about all people being fed. Let's read two texts together that talk about this. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering real glad, being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The glory of God will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, and this text, which is even a bit more alarming. Now, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Let's stop right there. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. How many of you just run through that? If your enemies are hungry, did that not suggest that we are to be because I've heard a million times, oh, you know, they just need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They just need to get a job. They're just soaking off the system. Maybe that's your enemy. What is God telling you to do? Freedom. If your enemy is hungry, a person that you think is a slaughtering idiot, feed them. It's not really wishy-washy, is it? It's not like, you know, you're feeling you have a good day. Got a extra money lying around. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will be burning coals on their heads. Why is hunger an issue that clearly matters to the heart of God? Well, that's children. I think one of the reasons that it matters to God is because it's not like God said, okay, here's 5 tomatoes and here's 50 people, figure it out. God gave us more than enough and trusted us to distribute it so that all who have need are fed. Several years ago, I believe it was Jen that brought us our attention. We did a series on happiness. Does that mean that I'm going to do? We did this series on happiness. And it was talking about how people around the world are happy. And one of the interesting things that this series revealed was that once people's basic needs were met, that they had food for their bellies and clean drinking water, and they had safe shelter from the elements, right? Once their basic needs were met, the difference between a person's happiness factor, whether they were just, you know, getting by and have those needs met, or they were Bill Gates, was virtually none. Where the happiness factor really came in was the difference between a person who did not have their basic needs met and a person who did. This leads us to recognize that we need to do everything in our power to end hunger so there is a zero hunger reality in our world. I want you to watch the three videos that I watched today. None of them are long. This is called Rethink Zero. What does that say on there?
What if you didn't have enough to eat? What if your life was defined by what you didn't have? More than 800 million people are hungry and undernourished. They live in fear of zero. It's time for us to rethink zero. This is the Zero Hunger Challenge, a comprehensive vision of a world where hunger is ended everywhere, a mission to zero out hunger. In 2012, U.S. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon launched the Zero Zero Hunger Challenge, setting the world 5 challenges to end hunger in our lifetime. Sustainable food systems across the globe, zero loss of waste of food, double smallholder productivity and income, access for everyone to adequate food all year round, and zero self children less than 2 years old. In a world of plenty, no one should go hungry. But right now, more than 50% of children are malnourished. 1 in 9 people are currently hungry. By 2050, there will be 9 billion people in our world. We must work together to make sure everyone gets the food they need. We will commit to support and empower women to become equal decision makers in their households. When women have equal choices, women and children are better fed. We will improve access to food by offering to promote small family farms and the infrastructure at soil care, sharing knowledge and experience to sustainably improve land management and productivity. We will work together to minimize food losses during production, storage, and transport, and encourage consumers to reduce waste and make wise choices about what to eat. The 5 challenges have been set. Now it's up to all of us, governments, businesses, civil society, and individuals, to join together to create the most beautiful world. Because when we zero out hunger, the possibilities become infinite.
So hunger is an issue that clearly matters to the heart of God, and therefore God's people. Can we be honest about why we aren't as invested in this issue as we should be? It's easier not to be.
Selfish.
We have. Fear of overpopulation.
I think apathy can set in because there's so many complex systems in place. Because there's enough food in the world, it's just how do we speak truth to power, and then it becomes apathy out of frustration.
Apathy out of frustration.
Out of
sight, out of mind. It's one of the reasons we keep putting it right before us, right?
In the large scale of what you described, we lose faith in our large centralized planning because of the corruption in our institutions that we've watched our whole lives. So we trust locally, but you know, I'd love to be curious to see how the large calls are now led for that great plan.
There is some corruption that definitely takes place, there's no doubt about that. And we were very discouraged by that. So a lot of people tend to look locally or globally when we're actually there on the ground.
Sometimes feeling futile because of kind of what Rich and a bunch of other people said, like, you can do certain things, but because of political violence and cleansing, you know, there's a limit. So sometimes I feel like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you need to feel somewhat hopeless. Yeah.
Number of years ago, I was on a mission trip to Costa Rica, and this was a very, very poor community that we were working with, and I noticed that there was a lot of land around this community that was unused, so I asked the people that I was staying with, why aren't you farming? Why aren't you planting this land? Because Costa Rican land is fertile. He said, nobody farms here, nobody plants anything because people come and steal it at night. But for the rest of the time that I lived there, I couldn't figure out how to solve this problem. And I still haven't figured out how this. How do you solve the problem? People who are hungry still the star.
There it comes. I think he brings up a point about the systems that we live and try to work through. And we all know that there's a lot wrong with the system. And then on top of that, we have political thought as to which system is better than the other system, and see that somehow through our way, I have to be Republican, so I have certain ideas about the way the system should function and how they would function best. My friend over here disagrees with me a lot because of her insights and her, it's not that I'm right and she's wrong, we just have these systems. And so we, a lot of times, we're fighting somebody else's system who has party system. And then we have party system. Somehow or other, we can't get past the same thing that causes war. We can't get past. But I think, for me, I think part of the reason God let food hunger be possible and water be thirsty be possible is because if we ever do really listen to Him and get rid of these problems, we will have also cleaned up our systems.
I think talking about systemic reasons for hunger, I think if we want to be really honest, brutally, a lot of that has to do with the sort of power, and a lot of that has to do with race. If you look at the places that were the most hungry, many of them have more than one growing season a year. There's no reason that they don't have the ability to grow food and provide, but it has to do with oppression. And I think on the part of the wealthier areas, even within the Southern Hemisphere or Eastern areas, the people with their power, again, it has to do with, I think, oppression and racism. And I'm not talking about even like in our country, I'm talking about in other countries have their own forces, their own, you know, racism. And, you know, where you think, any country where you think worse of a group of people because of their religion, their race, their practice, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And just that hunger has always been used as a tool of oppression. And I think it's getting better, but I don't think it's until we really confront those types of things, even within our own country.
So as I was bringing back to our country, because I think we've been raised out of the culture of fear, if I help this person get hurt me, or if I approach them, they can steal from me, rather than just helping. And just say, I mean, the other day, there, so Zoe were out, there was a homeless man there, and so we learned about what it was like to be homeless, and how can we help them and mommy, and, you know, we're taught down in fear, everyone. And we walk down the street where there are homeless people, most people cross the street, rather than figuring out how to help them.
There's a very interesting clip on YouTube where a person had, a homeless person said, I'm homeless, I need money for drugs, weed, and something else. And they hit the sign inside in their pot. And they showed you kind of like they set it up for like a 10-minute. Anyways, and all kinds of people were putting money in. And then they took a person, this is all good, and it was a single parent mom with a child, and it said, I'm homeless. And it went hours, and nobody put in any money. And this child was like stage sick, laying on the lap. And then a person came up to them and said, I'm homeless myself, but you need it more than I do, and put money. It was like so tough. It was like so incredibly tough. If we are to live life to the full, and if we believe in a God who says, I'm giving you life that you might live life to the full, we must have food. And God wants all of us to have the capacity to live life to the full. And one of the things, I'm going to show you one clip, and the reason I want to show you this clip is to understand that those first 2 years of development are so important that people get the food that they need, because it will affect the rest of their life if they do not. So please watch this last clip.
Now, Christian, they may have headlines on the family, but not having the proper nutrients can be just as deadly. You see, hunger isn't just a summer thing. It affects every part of the body. And these effects can last for a lifetime. First, a healthy brain uses 20% of the body's energy. And that energy comes from, you guessed it, food. When a child is hungry, the brain is starved. The result? Not many kids fall behind in school because they can't concentrate. Then, there's the heart. A healthy heart pumps a steady supply of blood throughout the body. But the heart of a hungry child shrinks. Literally. So it has to work extra hard to pump enough blood. By the organs like the liver and kidneys go throughout toxins and waste, while the immune system fends off diseases. But when a child is malnourished, dangerous toxins go up in the liver, the kidneys fail, and the weakened immune system crumbles in the face of killer diseases. Skin and bones are also affected by nutrition. Healthy skin is like armor, shielding the body from infection. And healthy bones get bigger and stronger as a child grows. But when a child is malnourished, their skin cracks, allowing infections to get in. Their bones stop growing, which is why hungry kids often end up being small to their age. So how can we help? We need to catch hunger before it starts, by making sure kids aren't just getting enough food, but the right food, so that they have the best possible chance at a healthy, successful life. You believe in this very element and help build a better world for children.
So what are we going to do about it? What are we doing about it? I just had the connection of team pass out some sheets to you. And there are pencils if you need them. The Neighbors Matter team is the team that is really responsible to give us opportunities to walk alongside of our neighbor, to serve together, to learn from one another. And they have a number of opportunities around food insufficiency as well as some others. The sheets that you are having handed to you give a description of each of the different ministries that Neighbors Matter has offered to this community. Around food, we have several. Locally, community gardening. Now, one of the challenges for our community gardens is we have currently 8 community gardens that are supported by the Sikh community, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, Christian community, obviously, and some other sundry people. Unfortunately, this year, we ran woefully short of volunteers to help with the gardens. And so next year, it's going to have to be rethought, because this year, many of the gardens were run by the gardeners, the master gardeners. And they're not even supposed to be doing gardening. They're supposed to be there to equip us to garden. They're not to be actually doing the work of the garden. And so, unless there is more support of the community gardens next year, we may have to rethink whether or not we're capable of doing the gardens in the ways we've been doing them. The Angel Network, we support East Penn School District to take families at risk for our food insufficient, and they give them baskets, school supplies, and prom, the different things so kids in those families can participate. This year, we will be doing a soup drive. So as you start to see soup on sale at the grocery store, just keep taking a couple of cans and destroying those until our drive begins. Daybreak is a ministry that began as a result of the state hospital closing and the county assuring those dear folks of 3 square meals a day of socialization skills. And so Daybreak is a ministry that we send much of our food to that we grow, as well as we go there once a month and prepare a healthy meal and share it with our friends at Daybreak. Now, when we stretch our arms a bit further, we are heading to Philadelphia, to Broad Street this fall, and I've asked Joe to say a word about that.
On Saturday, November 17th, we are going to have an immersive experience in Philadelphia with our youth group and our friends at the Presbyterian Church in Emmaus. The trip is going to be for 40 of us to go down to the Broad Street Mission to understand what it means to be a person who is housing insecure and food insecure. Then we're going to have a day of service where we're going to participate in missions in Philadelphia Broad Street and community garden in the south side of Philly, and with Beacon Church. All three of these work sites are to learn about what does it mean to be food insufficient in this country, and how we can be a part of the solution rather than ignore the problem, so that we can understand and connect our hearts with real people as well who are doing this work in neighborhoods in our area. And our hope is that we can take this immersive experience and bring it back to our own community and discover new ways that we can partner with friends in our local area to help end hunger in our local community.
Is there a science?
Is there what?
Science.
Yes. Come and see me. Or fill out a little form and say that you want to come and be a part of this. Oh, and can I just give a side note for that trip? That trip is going to be fully funded by Faith Presbyterian Church. They have committed to this partnership with us, and they are going to be funding this immersive experience. I'm like so excited to be a part of this. They're excited to be our partners in working together.
Then on October 14th, you can make a difference by walking 10K or the Golden Mile. And if you start at St. Timothy's, you walk down to Town Allentown, we invest in some of the ministries down there, you get to see them, and then we turn back here and we raise funds, 25% of which comes here locally for hunger, 75% of which is distributed by Church World Service directly to people. I just would like to say that let your goal be a challenge goal from David Kaiser, who says he's going to raise how much, David? $500 is his goal, to raise $500. So let that be a marker for you. David can raise $500, we can all raise $500. So we are hoping to have between 25 and 30 walkers on October 14th. It is a wonderful community building where we raise this issue to our community and have an opportunity to talk with many people about it as we solicit their giving back. And then globally, we address hunger at our Hearts for Hunger school, where the children not only get an education, but they get two of their meals a day here at the school that are healthy and nutritious, and it gives those kids who would be begging on the streets both an education and food. So these are some of our current emphasis. On your paper, you will see not only these, but some others. And what we're going to do now is we are going to play a reflection piece. And while that reflection piece, which is equally a very moving reflection piece, is being played and listening to the words of it, we would invite you to take the sheets. And if there are things on there that you are interested in participating in, please sign your name and what those things are, and someone from the Connections team will be back in touch with you about ways that you might be involved. So let us continue our worship of God. And then at the end of this song, the baskets will be passed for your morning offerings. This song is about 7 minutes, so you have the first few minutes to complete this, and then we will gather on the morning offering and gather to God. Thank you.
sometimes when I hear all the reasons that we, you know, well, we gotta do it this way, we gotta do it this way, we gotta put it this way, we gotta do it this way, and I hear Democrats, and I hear Republicans, and I hear liberals, and I hear conservatives, and I hear Muslims, and I hear Jews, and all the reasons. You know what I really want to say all of it? My belly is hungry. It needs to get over your stuff and feed my hunger and power to tell my story. This out of that, then do this where you're not. You know, it's like a person on the street, or it's a kid that goes to school that comes to school hungry, or it's, you know what, I think all, everyone of us can find a way.
Are there any prayer concerns or celebration stories? I have a couple.